Sometimes life is not fair. It's really not fair to have to follow talented people, is it? You ever thought about that? I'm not B.H. Lakeland. I heard him preach one time after some great singing, and he said, I think I'll just tell a few jokes and we'll all go home. And I'm glad tonight we have some talented people, and I appreciate their sincerity and humility, and also appreciate the great singing and the message in the songs tonight. Certainly tonight we think about how great God is, and that's part of the message that I want to bring to you tonight in Hebrews chapter 2. And I'll not keep you a long time tonight, but as Paul writes to the Hebrews tonight, and as he's speaking to you and I down through the ages, and the Holy Spirit has recorded these words and kept them and preserved them, and I do believe tonight that we have a what God said. I believe this is God's word. It's speaking to us. And if there's nothing else tonight we ever learn in this world, if we'll learn about God and his revelation through the scriptures to us, that's what we really need to know tonight. And Paul, as he's writing these Hebrew Christians in chapter 2, is going to say something tonight that I want you to be very careful and think about tonight, and maybe give you some thought for the rest of the week. So let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you tonight that we have this wonderful opportunity together. We thank you for these songs of Zion that have been sung. We thank you tonight for this congregation. We thank you tonight, Lord, for your word and your spirit. We ask you tonight, dear Lord, as we look into your word, that you might take this word tonight and use it in our hearts and lives and stir us and encourage us, challenge us and convict us. And for all that's said and all that's done, give Jesus Christ the honor and the power and the glory. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. In verse number 5, Paul says, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection unto his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not now put under him. But now we see not all yet things put under him. In verse number 6, Paul asked a question. It was asked by the psalmist in Psalm chapter 8. We'll look there in just a moment and see some things. But Paul asked this question tonight, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Have you ever thought of this great thought? Why does God care about you? Why does God care about me? Why does God care about man? What is man? I mean, if we look around tonight and we think about man, we are flesh and bone and blood. Not very much to us, to be honest with you this evening. And God is so mindful of us. God is so caring for us. In Psalms chapter 8 is where this particular quote comes from, and David there in the Psalms has this to say. He said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set the glory above of the heavens. In verse 3 he says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. He said, I look and see, and I see all the things that you've created. I see, I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. God put all of our creation tonight into existence. Everything that you and I see tonight is orchestrated in a perfect timing. Everything tonight that we can look around and see that God in all of his splendor and his majesty has created. And David, here as he ponders all the things that God has done and all the majestic power of God and the majesty of God and the glory of God, asks the question that Paul asks in Hebrews 2, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Why is he so concerned about me? You know, Jesus said he's numbered the hairs on our head. I can't fathom the greatness of God tonight. I don't think any of us can really get down and understand the greatness of God. Can you imagine going through this congregation, this few people we have assembled here this evening, and start counting every hair on their head? And then let me call you about midnight and say, how many hairs did Brother Bruce have on his head? How many hairs did Ben Boyd have on his head? Well, I forgot to write it down, preacher. I ain't got a clue. But God knows. Now think about that. God knows how many hairs is on our head. He knows our name. When you go to God in prayer, you simply start to pray, don't you? Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we pray tonight, Lord, and we begin to put our petitions forth unto him. Nothing wrong with that. Jesus taught us to pray our Father which art in heaven. I read some of the prayers of the Apostle Paul that's in the epistles tonight. I read some of the prayers of David that in the Psalms. And nowhere do I find that they say, Lord, this is me. They just start praying. You know, sometimes people call me on the telephone and they'll start asking questions, and finally I have to stop and say, who is this? Who is this? But God always knows the greatness of God. And why is God so mindful of us? What about us tonight that makes God so wanting tonight to take care of us and is mindful of us and knows us? Paul said, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. We were made a little lower than the angels. Yet he crowned us with glory and honor and didst set him over the works of thy hands. God set Adam over the works of his hands. He set us over the works of his hands tonight. We are the caretakers and the guardians of God's creation this evening. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for that in all subjection under him he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. We'll talk about that just a moment. But you see, sin came in and destroyed our relationship with God when Adam and Eve sinned and were chased out of the Garden of Eden. And God could have just very easily said, hey, that's it, I'm through. Man is no longer important to me. Man is no longer love. I no longer care about them. And just said, that's it. It's over. It's through. I'm finished. Probably, I know I've told you before, but a lot of you here tonight don't know what a skimming hole is. When you make molasses, I was a boy growing up, we used to make molasses, and they had a skimming hole. That's where all the old skimmings went in. It was a sticky, smelly mess, just to be honest with you. And used to be this black lady had a help with the making of the molasses, and one day one of her kids fell in the skimming hole. And she got the little old boy out, and he was covered with all that mess, and she took him down the creek and was trying to wash it off of him. And the harder she washed, it looked like the worse it got. And finally, she looked at him and she said, "Lord, boy," she said, "it'd be a lot easier just to have a nut than it would to clean you up." You know, God could have just created another man. He could have just created and wiped us off the face of the earth, but he didn't. He loved us. Why? You think about that tonight. Why does God love me, and why does he love you? I don't really have an answer for that. I don't know if you do or not. I've never really thought about, why does God love me? Why does God extend his grace to all of humanity? Why was he willing to let his only begotten son die on a cross? Why tonight was he allow this creation that he created tonight, these people tonight that he brought into existence, and he sent Jesus Christ in the midst of this tonight and allowed him to be abused, spit upon, mocked, and crucified because he loved us. And you think about that tonight. And you go home and you sit down and you say, hey, why did God love me? And I can't tell you tonight the answer. I can't tell you tonight why God loved you. But I can simply say to this world tonight, I can say to you and every other person in this world tonight, God does love you. Amen. You see, Paul says in verse number 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That by the grace of God, he should taste death for every man. We see Jesus. You don't know how much God loves you, look to Calvary. If you don't know how much God loves you tonight, look to Jesus. If you don't know if God does love you tonight, look to Jesus. I can tell all the world tonight, the greatest, the most wonderful thing I could tell people tonight is God loves you. And when somebody says, how do you know? I can simply say, Jesus. Right. Jesus. Jesus. I know God loves you because he sent Jesus to taste death for you. He sent Jesus to taste death for me. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom all are all things in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There's victory tonight in death through Jesus Christ. Amen. Through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. You see, the power of sin is death. Paul explains it sometime as Peter, as I've told you before, Peter sometimes says, Paul writes things a little hard to understand, but when you get back to 1 Corinthians 15, and as Paul closes out that thing, he asks this question, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The sting of death is sin. Sin tonight has dominion and power over all humanity tonight. But Paul says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We never die. We live forever. And deliver them who fear of death for all their lifetime subject to bondage. He delivers us tonight from the fear of death. Do we want to die? Not really. We go to doctors. We try to take care of ourselves. We try to be careful when we get out on the highways, and we attempt to take care of ourselves because none of us tonight really has a death wish. But if you're a child of God, you never fear death. You say, how do you know that? Because I've come close a time or two, and it wasn't the fear of death. Because God always gives comfort and grace even in that hour. I can remember when the tornado come through, and I never was afraid that I was going to die. Because I knew if I died, God was going to take care of me. That's a great comfort to all of us tonight. Right. And what are we that God would bring all that to you and I? I want you to go home, and I want you to think tonight about that very simple thought. What is man? That God is mindful of him, that God cares about him, that God loves him, that God was willing to send his son, Jesus Christ, to be their Savior and Redeemer. That he was allow his son to be abused and ridiculed and mocked and crucified for you and I, for me and for you. You think about that this week. You come up with an answer of why God does it other than simply to say that God loves us. You let me know. I don't know any other answer tonight. I can't tell you why God loves you, but I can tell you he does. Amen. All right, you'll stand together with me.